Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
I have tremendous trust in that tight end room and tremendous trust and confidence in the wide receiver room, and then tremendous trust and confidence in Joe Brady and our offensive staff. And it's the collaboration and the integration of all of that, right? Of, hey, each and every one of us doing our jobs, putting them in position, and then understanding what that job is on that particular play, and that we execute it to the highest level of detail that we need to execute.
Sean McDermott, ahead of Monday Night Football. The Sabres home tonight, and they've just sent out a teaser video. There will be a new goal song this year, which looks like no individual goal songs. Back to a flat-out team goal song.
I think this is going to be one of our biggest disagreements
ever. Okay, good. We will embrace debate in a little bit.
We should ask Scott.
Scott Pianowski, Yahoo Sports fantasy writer. Scott, what do you think?
Team goal songs or every player having their own goal song? What's better?
Yeah, I'm a hockey guy. Even if you didn't invite me, I was going to put myself in the middle of this. It's team goal song all the way.
Oh,
yeah.
Come on.
That's right. That's right. Listen, the player goal song is cool and fun and nice to get some personality, but for the actual arena atmosphere, having a good goal song that gets that everybody knows and can rely on is better than just, you know, all due respect to fishing in the dark, that's not exactly going to fire people up when Tage scores. So I'm team goal song with you.
Yeah, and let's have 40, you know, Tage Thompson goals, 15 power play goals. He's one of my keepers in my hockey league, so let's do that. And I'm also a big believer in victory songs. And also, remember, when you score a soccer goal, you run away from your teammates. When you score a hockey goal, you run to your teammates, and everybody celebrates in union. That's what hockey players do.
That's right.
Are you a hardcore fantasy hockey guy?
I've been in the league that dates back to the 1990s, the head-to-head league. It was originally based out of the LA Times, and I'll never forget the first time we drafted. I got into the league. I was a newspaper guy, but I still had an office job, and I was drafting in the office, you know, on the fly, and one of the guys couldn't make it, and his wife was picking for him, and they had the first pick, and she took Byron Defoe, who was the LA Kings goalie, and I almost fell out of my chair, and I said, I'll take Mario Lemieux, who at the time was the best player in the league and won the Hart Trophy. It's a head-to-head league. I think we started 15-2 that year. It was a fun year.
Nice. Very nice. Well, Scott Pianowski on the Western Hotline again. We're gearing up for Sabres-Kings tonight, and also for Bills and Jets. Scott, I wonder what you think about both of these teams right now. The AFC East, I don't know, overall as a division, it's not nearly as good as many might have thought it was coming into the year. You know, the Bills look like the Bills. They'll be fine, probably. The Jets' offense is not going well. The Dolphins are a mess because of injuries and other things. And then the Patriots are making a change at quarterback. Like, it's really been a topsy-turvy AFC East start to the season. And I wonder what you think of fantasy values, Bills and Jets. These are both supposed to be offenses with a lot of, I don't know, maybe big scores. Breece Hall comes to mind as someone who just doesn't look like he has it this year. The offense doesn't have it for him this year.
This is just the nature of the NFL, that you feel good, and then a week, just give a week or two, and you can feel awful. Think of how great we felt about the Saints after two games, and now that offense looks like a shipwreck. I mentioned on this program that we did a start-over Superflex League two or three weeks ago. I had the first pick, and I couldn't hit Josh Allen fast enough. There's no trading in that league. I'm the commissioner. I want to change it and trade Josh Allen because he just doesn't have a lot of help right now. I do think getting Shakir back, who's pretty much the easy button in this offense, I realize it's 8 or 10 yards at a time. I think that will really help. And whoever wins this game Monday, both teams aren't in a good place right now. But the NFL, a lot of times you're just one good game away from feeling good about yourself again. This is for first place. And if the Bills can straighten things out, they'll feel pretty good. The thing about the Jets is they fire Saleh, but hang on just 1 second. I'm sorry. So they fire Saleh, but his hands were not over the offense, right? Saleh was a defensive guy. I think it was done to placate Aaron Rodgers. The thing with the Jets is they're in a bad spot. They need to play their best players. And right now, Braylon Allen's their best running back. I think the running back who gets the next goal line carry on this offense may score 10 touchdowns, and it may be Braylon Allen. It's also time to stop playing Alan Lazard, who's the runaway leader in drops this year. I don't know if they'll get Allen. They tried to get Garrett Wilson going in London. It was 22 targets, only 5 yards a target, but at least there's an effort there. I'm optimistic that two offenses struggling, I think the game will actually push over on Monday night.
Well, with regard to Shakir, do you feel like if you can find somebody that wants to sell because the offense doesn't look great, is he about to hit further upside? He's also been hurt. But the Bills' everybody eats mantra, Scott, has kind of fallen on some deaf ears. And there's a lot of feed Shakir right now because he's one of the most efficient receivers in football, never mind on this team.
Yeah, there are a couple of interesting buy opportunities on the Bills. Shakir, off an injury, you talked about the efficiency, how good that is. And we know it's common for rookie receivers to sometimes get a bump in the second half of the season, or it can be tied to the bye week sometimes. There's some speculation that maybe Keon Coleman isn't running the most opportune routes for him, but I would think his game would perk up. The bottom line is I believe in Josh Allen. I know it's hard to erase that 9-for-30 and the way that game ended, but the NFL season is so long. And again, I talked about how we felt about the Saints not that long ago. Teams, you know, the Raiders were feeling great when they upset Baltimore. Now that they're making a quarterback change, the Patriots were feeling great when they upset Cincinnati. Now Cincinnati looked terrible that day. Now they're making a quarterback change. The Bengals offense looks like a fantasy cheat code because their defense is terrible and most of their passing is concentrated to two guys. So Burrow, Chase, T. Higgins, and those guys to the moon. Chase Brown, too, with Zach Moss hurt. Brown was out playing Moss anyway. You're only a week or two away from the story flipping. So I believe Shakir can't be a home run, but he's going to get on base. I would certainly be interested in getting him at cost, or if you can get him below cost, that's wonderful. And I think Coleman's going to have a role down the road, too. I believe in Josh Allen. That's the bottom line here.
On stories flipping, one, I was thinking about you when the injury came for Rashee Rice in Kansas City, and I read an article that basically laid out Kelsey's not toast. They just don't read him first. And with Rice out, he is back, right? I mean, I feel like Kelsey, if you had Kelsey and held, you're about to be rewarded because the Chiefs are down Rice and Brown, and Worthy's not ready for that number one role. And it feels like their offense is about to go through Travis Kelsey again.
Totally agree. This is like when you're playing tennis and you hit the ball and it hits the cord and it just drops over the line. I think Kelsey was the wrong pick. That's going to be a right pick now. And look what they did Monday night, right? They just went. Andy Reid just said, I don't want a steak. I want the mac and cheese. I want the comfortable sweatshirt. Kareem Hunt to the moon. Juju Smith-Schuster, who looked great, was schemed open. I realized there were defensive breakdowns and guys falling down and everything. But Juju, maybe he's Rice light. And Kelsey, and this really started in the Chargers game when Rice got hurt. And Rice was one of my most rostered players. I'm still kind of in mourning over that. But I get healthy and everything, Rashee Rice for next year. But Kelsey is back to a primary part of the offense. Now, the problem there is we still can't start Mahomes with any confidence because he has not been efficient in the red zone. They left a lot of points on the field Monday night. His last top 10 quarterback fantasy showing dates back to Thanksgiving week last season. He hasn't done it this year. He's routinely in the 13 to 18 range. And I think you're just going to have to play your other guy and know that if he ever does bust out, he's going to have a big game on your bench, but so be it. This has been a long enough sitting trend that we have to respect it. But it's just amazing. Think of how inexpensive Kareem Hunt was on waivers. I know some leagues you could have added. This is killing me. I could have done this. I could have added Juju for nothing on Monday. In Yahoo, if the players haven't played yet, you can add them on Mondays if they're free agents and drop somebody who just didn't play well on Sunday. And that Juju, I just didn't think Juju had a lot to give. I thought it would be a splintered room and maybe no right answer. I didn't have anybody I wanted to cut, whatever. I think Juju going forward is at least a top 40 receiver, and you know, with bye weeks in the middle, in the midst right now, I mean, that's a very playable piece.
Yeah, thinking of Kareem Hunt for this, who you just mentioned, and maybe Jordan Mason. There are probably others around the league. I've got some teams, Scott, where they're doing great because there are these running backs that you might think are kind of in a temporary spot. Like Kansas City, will get Pacheco back. Maybe McCaffrey comes back. Maybe not. Is there somebody? Or maybe a group of players that you look at running back-wise around the league where, like, that's a good stash idea because if there's an injury or maybe just the way the season progresses, by fantasy playoff time, like, he might score 2 points for you this week, but by fantasy playoff time, that might be a league winner.
Yeah, you mentioned a lot of the right guys. I think everybody can see that Bigsby is about to run past ETN, so that's a little bit too obvious. I still have high hopes for Jalen Wright. I know the Miami offense hasn't gone anywhere, but they finally trust him enough. I don't know why he didn't play more in the Buffalo game when everything went south for Miami, but Miami's about as south as you can already get. But right now they trust him to play in most packages. He's got two injury-prone. I mean, Mostert's in his 30s. Achan has been hurt his entire career. He's great when he's one of those. He's like a Will Fuller. When he's on the field, he's wonderful, but you just have to handle a lot of maintenance there. It sounds like Tua has a good chance to return in week 8. We have no idea what the future holds with him with the concussions, and you obviously hope he can stay healthy and make good decisions. But the Miami offense, they're basically plugged in with Tua. They're unplugged without Tua. Jalen Wright would be somebody I would try to hold. Tyler Algier has been pretty good in Atlanta. He's arguably outproducing Bijan Robinson. I don't think there's a groundswell for a change there. They've invested too much in Robinson. The offense feels good about itself after that Cousins game we saw last week going for 509, another team with a very narrow tree. But I would want Algier shares if I can get them. I think it's pretty obvious, but Ty Chandler probably going to start multiple weeks, I would think, with Aaron Jones. Minnesota's on the bye this week, so maybe there wasn't as much of a priority for people to add Chandler because he couldn't start right away. But Jones, another one of those running backs, you know, on the back nine of his career, generally doesn't play full seasons. Maybe there's a right answer in New Orleans. You know, Kamara was headed towards a career high for rush attempts by over 100. We knew that wasn't going to last. The offensive line has gotten banged up. I know Keandre Miller has just gotten hurt and annoyed the coaches the moment he got to New Orleans. But maybe if you have a stash spot for somebody, maybe Miller could be somebody in the second half. This is an obvious thing for most good fantasy players, but your bench has to have, you know, three or four of these speculative one injury away running backs. There's many, every league is different with bench size, but you get to have a bunch of these lottery tickets knowing that right now they might not be worth anything, but they're just one injury away from players you could start with confidence in the money weeks.
Scott Pianowski on the Western Hotline. So some of the news from this week, Scott, is quarterback changes between, I guess, New Orleans a little bit with that's temporary because Carr comes back at some point, but Spencer Rattler in, Drake May in New England, and then Aiden O'Connell in Vegas. Do any of those switches make a giant impact for you? New Orleans should, obviously.
Yeah, you know, I have Chris Olave shares that did not sign up for Rashid Shaheed to be their best receiver. He's outplayed Olave more often than not. Even the week that Shaheed had a bagel, he had a touchdown that was just a little bit underthrown. Maybe Shaheed could have caught it. It's always speculation. Who is the quarterback run reps with? Who is he comfortable with? Sometimes we just don't know that stuff. And who knows? Maybe Rattler will get Olave going. I don't know. But I'm interested in what might happen with the Raiders because Devontae Adams sounds like he might not play again this week. We know he wants to get traded. I don't know. Maybe the hamstring will get a lot better the moment somebody ponies up a good trade offer. But I think that makes Brock Bowers and who's obviously rostered, but maybe Jacoby Myers isn't, maybe Trey Tucker isn't, could be an opportunity with the Raiders, although I don't think O'Connell's any good. I think him and Minshew could be a ping-pong ball for the entire season. Jalen Polk is interesting to me with Drake May. They were just hiding Brissett behind that awful offensive line, and I realized they would probably want to do a lot of the same with a rookie quarterback who they've invested in. He's their future and all that, but I would think the pass rate has to go up at least a little bit. And this offense should be able to support one receiver. Polk's been the one getting the route share and the target share, even though the production hasn't been there. Brissett's a nice soldier, but he shouldn't be starting. I think they did the right thing with May. Give him a month or so to learn. But ultimately, the best way to learn is go out, make your own mistakes, and get the playing time. They skipped a couple of the really dangerous matchups on the schedule, didn't throw him against the Jets or San Francisco. But Houston, I realize that defense just made Josh Allen's life miserable, so who knows, maybe May's about to get dumped six times this week, but I still think there's a little bit of an uptick. They're starting from a low point. This might be the worst passing game in the league right now, but I think there's a squint and see it value with Polk.
Justin Fields, if you've got him, are you nervous?
You have to be. I mean, the best case for him keeping the job was 3-0. Now they're 3-2, and you know, just when we trust Arthur Smith, he's doing things with George Pickens. His participation was down this past week, and that's a sin because he's the one guy you can't take off the field in that passing game. After that, it's all ham and egg types. Probably it's not a bad tight end, but they don't have an impactful second receiver, so I don't know what they're doing with Pickens. And Pittsburgh is always going to be a team. You know their formula. The other team will all gain us. We'll try to beat them anyway. A lot of times they trail after a half and they come back in the second half, but they're not going to be an up-tempo offense. They have running backs they like. Fields will run some himself. I think Justin Fields needs to win this week. And it's, you know, a lot of road favorites this week. I know they're playing a lesser team, but I think he's playing for his job in week six.
Is there an argument, by the way, that Najee Harris is like the worst fantasy player of all time, Scott? I've one spot. There's just nothing to do with him. You can't really cut him. You can't. Nobody in the world wants to trade for him. So what? I just stare at him in my lineup, getting 9 points every week.
You outlined that so well. The player who you can't trust in your lineup, you don't want to cut. Too good to cut.
Yeah.
Not interesting enough to trade. That 13-for-19 line against the Colts really leaves a mark. And maybe the Colts defense wasn't quite as bad against the run as we thought, because when Mixon tore it up, and then the Packers, you know, Malik Willis has been on the team for 10 seconds, and they tore it up in week two. We thought, oh, here we go.
Okay, yeah,
we know the Steelers want to run the ball, and actually, ironically, that ended up being the best game of Fields' career, or Fields' season anyway, maybe his career, one of them anyway, but although they lost that game. Also, I just want to throw this out here. Who knew that Joe Flacco was the palate cleaner that we needed, right? I mean, Cleveland last year, the Watson story is just, it's so awful. There's rumors that maybe he'd welcome a trade. Yeah, to who? Who's trading for Deshaun Watson right now? He can't play. He brings off-field baggage. He's got a gigantic contract. I mean, that's about as albatross as you can get. But Flacco pumping life into this Indianapolis offense. And now that Pittman's hurt, and that's a sting, but that makes Downs and Pierce really, really playable if Flacco goes this week. Obviously, they've invested so much in Richardson. When he's fully healthy, he'll play again. They have to. They have to figure out what they have. But whenever Flacco's playing, I'm going to start anybody in his receiver room and do so with confidence.
It is interesting when Richardson gets healthy there in Indianapolis, because I know that head coaches and coordinators are not fantasy owners, but of course they do have an investment in keeping their other players happy. And I saw numbers like Richardson's turnover-worthy play percentage is 7 and Flacco's is 1. And all of a sudden, hey, look, Downs, Pittman, all these other good players we have, we're getting returns from them. And I think it could, not that like these players don't like Anthony Richardson, but man, especially receivers or jobs that rely on how good the quarterback is, when the other guy goes in and you start to eat with that guy, it's really hard to come off of that.
Totally agree. That's why the Panthers really had no chance, had no choice when they benched Bryce Young. And I realized after that first Andy Dalton game, it was a mediocre game in week two. And then the Bears, a very good defense, just shoved Carolina around last week. But at least when Carolina goes to kickoff, hope isn't dead already. Hope was dead with Bryce Young. And I feel like the Colts probably feel like hope is dead with Anthony Richardson, who is young, didn't play a lot in college, got hurt last year after just a handful of games. It feels like he's still a rookie. And he's still learning, you know, what open is in the NFL, still learning how you can run and how you can't run the NFL. I thought Steichen basically did malpractice when Richardson got hurt in that last game that he played. Came out for a snap, and they come back with an RPO. I don't understand how you do that. And then, of course, he gets hurt on that play, but I thought that was a little bit reckless. But you say it so well that you have to respect the other guys are all playing for their livelihoods, for their contracts. And when there's that much of a difference between somebody who can play and somebody who isn't ready to, sometimes you just have to respect that you can't. Every other position in the NFL, Pete Carroll was always like this, but every coach in the NFL is kind of like this. It's competition. You have to be accountable. If you're not playing well, we'll replace you. The one position they don't treat like that is quarterback, because he's the face of your franchise, and it just doesn't make sense to be willy-nilly changing your quarterback week to week, series to series, half to half. You need to have a little bit of continuity there. But when one guy can play and one guy can't, at some point it's like a lie to the rest of your locker room if you don't put the best guy in there. So I think the excuse they'll use is we need Richardson fully healthy. They'll give him some time. Maybe it's another week. Maybe it's multiple weeks. Eventually, there's too much investment there. And that's, of course, why Watson is playing, because they've invested so much money. I have to believe Stefanski's hands are tied on this. He's too rational of a guy. He'd want to make a change. But because they're all in on one guy. Now, at some point, it's a sunk cost because he can't play. And because nobody probably wants to play with him, the body language is terrible, the shoulder doesn't look right. It's not just all the other stuff, but I mean, he he can't play anymore, and he's probably physically compromised. But, man, what I wouldn't give, I know that if Jameis came in, he'd probably throw a bunch of picks. I know DTR is a lower-end prospect at best. But I feel like Amari Cooper needs is just to have a quarterback not named Deshaun Watson throwing him the ball, and he'll be fine. And Njoku hopefully is more healthy this week. I know he was dinged up last week, and he's been, you know, a disappointment. The running game hasn't gone anywhere, but it's amazing how you just put, you know, again, that Dalton effect. I know it's a couple of weeks old now, and people are probably nervous again about Deontay Johnson. Chuba Hubbard's actually been good four straight weeks. I wonder if he can keep the job even when Brooks comes back. Maybe they kind of soft-pedal Brooks because he's off a major injury, but sometimes you just have to play your best guy, even if it doesn't make sense long-term. You have to respect what the guys are trying to do in the short-term.
Scott Pianowski, Yahoo Sports Fantasy Writer. Thanks, Scott. Talk next week.
Thanks, guys.
You can follow him on Twitter at Scott_Piano, WSKI. I mentioned for you, Joe, I had a Everybody Eats stat for you.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, they're all going to be snarky now, aren't they? Who's got, like, the best offense in football right now?
Washington. Yeah.
Targets.
Amazing that we're a month in and, like, it's for me, not even, I mean, for anybody, right? It's not Washington. Even a hesitation. The Commanders are the best offense in football.
Targets.
McLaurin.
36. Right? Next closest.
After McLaurin?
Yep.
Is Zach Ertz second? Has he got, like, 20?
This is only their receivers.
Oh, okay.
I guess they should pull up
Ertz. So Noah Brown maybe with, like, 15?
The next closest is Olamide Zaccheaus, who has 14. 36 to 14. The reason I've actually found this list of stats, it's air yards. Air yards to Terry McLaurin this year.
Oh, man, they got
to
be nuts.
549. The next closest, 89.
That's amazing.
They just wing it to McLaurin.
Yeah.
Hey, look, we got a good receiver and a good quarterback. Now we have a good offense.
Yeah, their whole offense is they have underneath options with Ertz and Eckler, who are somehow still playing at a decent level.
Pops the top.
And then McLaurin just goes over the top. That's the one big difference.
Yeah.
The Bills don't have... Diggs was this, right? McLaurin is amazing. But even just somebody that can do half that job. McLaurin can do everything. Just a Jameson Williams type, like somebody that, like, he might have two targets in the game. But this was Jameson Williams before his bye week. He had two targets in a game. He had one catch for 75 yards and a touchdown. Just one guy like that would be nice.
803-0550. Three-way Thursday parlay coming up. And we've got to talk about the Sabres goal song. We know they have a new goal song and no more individual goal songs, it appears. Have seen a couple of suggestions. I might have one. We can right a wrong. We can fulfill the prophecy. We can overturn a rigged election.
The let me clear my throat one?
Yeah.
What happened?
There was a fan vote.
There was?
Mm-hmm.
And that one didn't win?
Let me clear my throat won.
Okay.
What finished in second place, I believe that was the true winner. We'll play it for you. Some of you remember. An oral history of Swords of a Thousand Men is coming.
Oh, no.
An oral history of Swords of a Thousand Men. Because it's not just that election that it lost in the finals.
Yeah.
There are other moments along the way. This Swords of a Thousand Men was never given a chance to get off the ground. And tonight, the Sabres have a chance to right a wrong.
All right, we'll do that next.
And we'll put together a parlay.
Hey, on Saturday, join Nate Geary. He'll be at Consumers Beverages, 8505 Transit Road, East Amherst, for a Heineken Silver event, 12 to 2 p.m. Stop by, register for a chance to win some autographed football memorabilia, enjoy other giveaways from WGR, no purchase necessary. Heineken Silver, world-class light beer. See you this Saturday at Consumers Beverages in East Amherst.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex Grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex Grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Who is up for a rollicking pub anthem for your goal song? Ready? Swords of a Thousand Men, Ten Pole Tudor. Right about here is when they're about to score a goal. You know, And then, bang, it's in the net. Tage. I got the timing wrong. You need the part about...
You need it a little earlier.
Going to have a barrel of ale and much, much more.
Yeah.
Come on.
This right, is on
an arena anthem. Some say it would be more popular than Mr. Brightside.
No, stop that. Stop.
No, of course.
But you also can't make Mr. Brightside the goal song because I don't want that to be overplayed.
Listen.
Can't overplay it.
List of songs that cannot be the goal song. Mr. Brightside, yes.
Unless they're up 10-0.
No, can't be. No, that's a song you just play.
That's the one I'm saying. We did this with the Bills. You reserve it for only... You're up 10-0, we hear Mr. Brightside. That's it. So you might only hear it twice every 10 years. But.
Other songs, it can't be. It can't be the shout song.
No, 100%.
It cannot.
Oh, that would be horrible. You can't do that. They're not going to do that.
Joe, it's, you know, One Buffalo stuff.
Like, no. That what One Buffalo? When's the last time you saw that logo?
I think it's a hat over here.
There is a hat over there with the One Buffalo.
So an oral history of Swords of a Thousand Men.
Uh-huh.
It was going to get tried one night. I was at the game. They played Carolina. It was going to be Swords of a Thousand Men. They got shut out. They were experimenting with goal songs. Then there was a period of time where... After goals, they would immediately rewind the radio call and play RJ calling the goal and then try to get a song. You know, they wanted to pump up RJ. That was a cool idea, but it basically eliminated the time for there to be a goal song. So at one point it was goal, RJ, and I think they tried Swords of a Thousand Men. It's never been given the chance it deserved. Tonight's the night. It's time. Right the franchise's greatest wrong. Which was Let Me Clear My Throat over Swords of a Thousand Men. It's time. It is a song about men with swords and beer. What is the issue?
This is the reason why the drought's not over.
It's correct.
This is
a rollicking anthem singing about swords. The Buffalo Sabres logo is a buffalo and two swords. Play the song.
It's a good argument.
I'd like to hear an argument for another song. Is it about swords? No.
Are there other songs about swords?
There is the saber dance.
Not for a goal song.
Yeah.
Well, you asked about songs about
swords. That's right. That's true. But that song is not even about swords. That's just called the saber dance.
But it's about a sword fight in a play. I did a school project on that song. I know everything about it.
Is it about a sword fight, or is it just played during a sword fight?
That's true.
Are we
that's
familiar?
Right. Song, Saber Dance is actually not about a sword fight.
Is anyone here familiar with the song Flash of the Blade by Iron Maiden?
I don't know, but it's the second. It's now my second option for goal song right now.
You're saying it has to be sword? Does it have to be sword themed?
Something tells me that Iron Maiden song is probably more about an axe than a sword. Not knowing anything about
it. That could be right.
I got a buddy who's a big Iron Maiden fan. I'll have to text them.
I'm personally upset that they are not going to have personal goal songs anymore.
This is the way forward. This is the way forward. You want to get an atmosphere in the arena? Have goals be a unifying event. And having Ilya Lyubushkin's goal song be "I am a gummy bear" is not going to get that done.
Well, you never heard that.
Fine. What was Dylan Cousins' goal song last year?
White Horse.
What?
White Horse.
How's it go?
We know what it is.
Okay. What was
song. It had two meanings to it.
Do you remember Victor Olofsson's song? It was ABBA.
Great. Sounds great. What was Tux?
Now that I don't remember.
What was Paterka's?
Wait, Tux was Heads Will Roll.
Was a German
Heads
metal song.
That was a good one.
That was a good one. Yeah. Paterka's was
it was some
German metal song. Let's get the energy back in this arena, folks.
Oh, it wasn't German metal. It was like a
what
German
was Jack Quinn's goal song?
I don't remember.
We're on the right track.
Remember what Tage's was?
Fishing in the Dark.
Fishing in the Dark.
Only
we remember what Skinner's was.
Because it was the only one that was actually like a goal song. Everybody knew that
one. So that's what we need then. We need the personal goal song, but we need the players to step to the plate a little bit better here.
Well, I'm going to the game tonight. You'd be very happy to know my wife is going to wear her Jochen Hesch jersey.
Oh, nice.
She has a Jochen Hesch white slug jersey.
Oh.
The white slug is elite. I got a white slug Roy on right now.
Yeah, I saw the 9 and I thought, Eichel? But no, he didn't wear a slug. That's Derek Roy.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got Jim Lorenz over there?
Jim Lorenz. I've got the Jim Lorenz jersey.
What should I wear tonight? Should I wear... I like to wear the blue Sabres 40th anniversary, which maybe is like the best jersey they've ever worn. You know the 40th anniversary one?
Yes.
That's right behind the
Buffalo Bisons throwback.
Such a good one.
It's so great.
Mm-hmm.
The font on that, the word mark. Yeah, it just says Buffalo. No name. Just blank.
The nameplate
was awesome.
That was great.
I wish I had one of those in a Vanek. I'd like a Vanek 40th.
All right.
Is there a store that'll put...
Yeah, I'm sure you can find it.
14 years ago?
Yeah. I'm not sure it'll the same,
I needed the nameplate the way that it was. Go back in time and make that a Vanek one.
Call Thomas Vanek. See if he's got one hanging around that he'll trade with you or something. How often does he wear it?
I'm going to say something here. I miss Thomas Vanek on the Sabres.
Well, I mean, he was the best player on the last good team they had.
That's right. He was awesome.
Right?
He was awesome.
He was
He
amazing.
Did really cool stuff.
The classic jerseys are cool, too, because it tells everyone I've been a fan this long. Yeah, I'm Jochen Hesch. I've been through this 15 years. It's been a long time.
Kevin in Buffalo wants to chime in on hockey season. Hey, Kevin, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure
thanks
thing.
For calling.
Wanted to revisit a small conversation you had from yesterday morning about the little bit of mismanagement the NHL seems to have to get their foot going in the right direction to start off the season. I think it's an original idea, pun intended. You'll see the pun in a second. First night, opening night, 3 games, the original 6 teams.
Yeah. I like it.
Toronto plays Montreal, Boston plays the Rangers, Detroit plays Chicago, you stagger them. Second night of the season, you have the Stanley Cup champion host whoever, and raise their banner and have a good night.
Yep, I like it, Kevin. I like it a lot. Having the opening night be an event is a great idea, and having opening day be 4:30 in the afternoon in Seattle is not a great idea. Last night felt like more of an opening night than the previous night.
It did.
It was Toronto Montreal.
Toronto Montreal felt like the beginning
that
of the season.
I would settle for that.
If that every year was the matchup, every year we're going to open with Toronto Montreal.
I would do that.
I think I would too. But real quick, do we know how they're going to announce the goal song tonight?
That's a good question. Will they tell us ahead of time, or will they just wait for a goal to be scored?
Because Chris Ostrander just pointed out on Twitter, like, what if they don't score tonight?
Well,
we won't know the goal song?
It's a great question.
I guess we're not going to hear it until they score a goal. How would you do it before? How do you introduce a goal song without a goal? I don't think you do. I think you wait for the first goal.
You play Swords of a Thousand Men and watch a rollicking arena embrace the identity of a team named after swords. That's the path forward.
Are you going to be happy with anything other than that?
No.
Is there any other idea that like
there are definitely is acceptable? There are good ideas. Anytime we bring up this conversation, I'll get 1,000 tweets of like Pantera metal, and I think that's not a good idea. Due respect to Pantera. Let's do our Thursday three-way parlay.
All right, let's do it.
Ooh. Yeah. Thursday three-way parlay. Tonight it's the Niners at the Seattle Seahawks. We're each going to pick a leg and try to have some fun together. I'm going to be at the Sabres.
It's a good matchup. I do like having the division matchups on Thursday night.
Yep.
It makes for better games.
Quick stat for you on the Niners. The only reason they're looking like they're struggling a bit is their red zone offense is 29th in the NFL.
Yeah.
They get to the red zone all the time and they have like fallen apart when they get there. Could that be a McCaffrey thing? Could that be a Debo thing? Could that be a Kittle thing? Mm-hmm. They've been hurt quite a bit. And Ayuk got, you know, late into camp. So I am bullish on the Niners to kind of come out of this. I'm not sure if that happens tonight, but let's put together a same game parlay for Seahawks, Niners.
Okay. I can go first. I am going to go with the over on Tyler Lockett at 42.5, a number that he has gone over every game this year except for one. He's had at least 6 targets in 4 of the 5 games, so while he might be the third option behind Metcalf and Smith and Jigba, there is still plenty of room in this offense for Tyler Lockett to eat. So 42.5, nice little low number for him, given what he's done this season, over 42.5 for Lockett.
42.5 for Lockett. All right. What do I like here? Seattle just lost to the Giants.
Yes, they did.
Who did not have Malik Nabers.
They got a little lucky, though.
They did, but the fact
that the Seahawks were kicking a field goal to tie the game, and they had a blocked field goal go back the other way for a touchdown.
Okay, but that means the Seahawks were losing to the Giants late in the fourth quarter, and they did not have Malik Nabers.
Sure. Right.
So I feel like if you're going to lose to Darius Slayton and Wandale Robinson.
Well, who's the best team Seattle's beaten? Here are their games so far. They beat Denver.
Yep.
By 6. They beat New England in overtime. They beat the Dolphins with Tyler Huntley. That was the Skylar Thompson game. Skylar Thompson and Tim Boyle. And then they lost to the Lions. And then they lost to the Giants. So they don't really have a good win yet.
No.
They are home for this game.
Yes, they are.
Although they were home last week.
You're over on Lockett.
Yep.
I'm going to go with... Man, I like the way Kenneth Walker runs the football.
He's so good. You want to go with 2 Seahawks overs, though, against the Niners defense?
No, I don't want to do that. I'm actually inclined to go for Ayuk. Brandon Ayuk had a bit of a breakout game last week.
Yeah.
The Seattle Seahawks, I don't think their defense is too good at holding down pass catchers.
No.
Ayuk's over-under is 64.5. And game script, you know, if you're getting Tyler Lockett over 43, I'm going to take Ayuk over 64.5. Slow start for him. Last week he was back. This is an elite player who still doesn't have a touchdown, by the way.
Right. Here's Lockett, by the way.
Yeah. Ayuk over 64.5.
Okay.
I'm going to pair with you, Jeremy. I'm going to say Ayuk over on his receptions. Set at 4.5 right now. Last week he had 8 against the Cardinals. So, I mean,
okay.
I would assume it would stay in the same direction. So, over 4.5.
Let's do it. Plus 282 on that. That's our three-way parlay.
It's not a very long shot there.
No, it's not.
282?
The double on Ayuk is a way to, you know, keeps it low, but if you get you hit one, you likely to hit the other. So there it is. Three-way Thursday. Thursday three-way parlay.
We look at Ayuk and Lockett tonight.
Yeah, let's have it. All right, we'll wrap up the show. When we return, Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on the way. Sabres home opener is upon us. It'll be tonight. You can, of course, catch the game here on WGR, 7 o'clock faceoff. Steve Foley pregame begins at 6 o'clock.
Breaking sports news airs first here. Guaranteed. WGR Sports Radio 550, 2020 Sports.
Extendo Sports.
Tune in to WGR each Bills game day during the regular season for your chance to answer our tailgate trivia question presented by Game Day Hospitality. It's your chance to win 2 VIP tickets to Game Day Hospitality's Red Zone Tailgate Party. Tickets include food, drink, entertainment, access to the VIP tent. Visit our contest page at WGR550.com for details.
All right.
Just looking up some numbers in the break. The Sabres last year gave up the most goals in the first period in the NHL at 97.
All right.
And so far this year, through two games, they have allowed, I guess it's only two goals. Oh, because the other one was scoreless into the second period.
What are the odds the Sabres have chosen a Bob Dylan song?
What is there any good Bob Dylan goal song? I don't think so.
Don't think twice. It's all right.
Is Like a Rolling Stone?
No.
No.
Well,
so zero, I would say.
I'm just saying.
Bob Dylan, by the way, still out there performing? How old is he?
He's performing, and every single person that sees him says he is horrendous and you shouldn't see him, other than
really?
The fact, yes.
He's
that,
83.
That it is,
oh, okay.
That it is seeing Bob Dylan, but man, you probably shouldn't.
There needs to be a law against, like, guys, once performers. Once,
a law?
Once you're 82, come on. Hang it up. It's enough.
Well,
maybe not a law. Maybe a
warning on the tickets.
Yeah. Yes, a warning on the tickets.
Heads up. I'm not in Bob Dylan circles, and I've heard that from 35 people. Yeah, you know, you kind of go to say you saw Bob Dylan. Okay. We're back tomorrow. Sabres recap. So help me God, if he gets outscored 4-0 in the first period, Joe, I'm not coming in. I'm not.
I mean, are we all going to be surprised?
Yes, happens? I'm going to be surprised. They're going to win tonight. Remember, the keys to victory. The keys to moral victory tonight. Outshoot the Kings 13-5 in the first. Tage, get a dangle or two. Don't get booed. That's your keys to victory for the Sabres tonight.
Moral victories.
I could use a moral victory.
All three of those things could happen and they'll lose.
When's the last time we had a moral victory? Seriously, a moral victory is nice. I want an actual victory, but imagine victory. Coming in tomorrow and you're like, you know, I feel great. Wouldn't you take that? You know?
Yes.
All right. They lose in a shootout, but something good happened. I don't know. Just go beat the Kings. We're back tomorrow.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com.